Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I don't know if you all feel the same way that I do, but I feel like the last couple of days have been a little bit stressful. Maybe this is just me, but the way in which the Jamie Newman situation plays out, I don't know. I just feel like a little bit on edge by all of that. So here's what we're going to try to do on a Friday as a way of kind of moving past some of that kind of stuff and whatever it is maybe going on with Georgia, the quarterback position. Let's just try to have some fun. We're going to bounce around and cover a number of different topics. Some of this stuff, maybe not all that crucial. As I said, we're just going to try to have some fun here on a Friday. There is news to get to. We'll talk about Marlon Dean here in just a moment, recommitting to the Georgia Bulldogs. Before we do that, let me begin with something that I wouldn't normally start a show with. But as I said before, we are committed to fun here on this Friday of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. I'm a golf fan. I like the PGA Tour. I'm very proud of the former Georgia golfers who are doing well on the PGA Tour, including three guys being at the Tour Championship here this week at Eastlake. Always a great event. Honestly, one of the sad things about what's going on with the coronavirus right now is the fact that I'm not getting a chance to be at Eastlake, something I enjoyed being a part last year of. Many of you have kind of enjoyed that there as well, but it's great to see these UGA guys continue to do well, including a former Georgia golfer who is really a big UGA fan. This is not, you know, some athletes kind of pretend to be fans, but they're really just kind of absorbed in their own world. Like Kevin Kisner, the current PGA Tour golfer, former UGA golfer, is a legitimate Georgia fan. From his social media, it's pretty obvious that he follows the team pretty closely. And so he's doing a press conference there at Eastlake, getting ready to go. And one of the reporters asks him, hey, you know, how does it feel to have so many Georgia guys here? Three of the 30 in the big event going on at Eastlake are former UGA guys. In the midst of doing this, Kisner takes a jab at Georgia Tech. As I said before, this isn't important. It's just kind of fun, and it's a good way to kick off our show for a couple of minutes here. Let's talk about it, including what Kevin Kisner had to say, kind of taking a little bit of a jab at Georgia Tech. Listen to this.
Kevin, I'm sure you've noted that 10% of this field is Georgia Bulldogs. What are your thoughts about that? And is there a part of you that will be disappointed that there won't be any barking on the other side of the gallery ropes this week?
And did you also research how many people from Georgia Tech are in the event?
I did.
Does it rhyme with hero?
That's a round zero.
Yeah. I saw Harris English's quote this morning. I thought it was hilarious. You know, every year that I've been here, we've had multiple Georgia Bulldog players from the school here. It's just a testament to the program and how many great players have been through there and how many guys we have on the PGA Tour that are still succeeding. The coolest part of this event is coming here and having that support. And that's what I just finished a Zoom Pro-Am and told the guys that's going to be one of the biggest disappointments of the week is not having fans barking and screaming go dogs every time I hit a good shot or making a birdie. So it's going to be a quiet week here. Hopefully we can run around here and have a chance to win, and we'll do a lot of celebrating in Athens this fall at a football game.
I mean, listen, even if you're not a big golf fan, you love the idea of former Georgia athletes saying some things like that, taking a jab at Georgia Tech for having zero guys in the postseason event there, the Tour Championship at Eastlake. Now, before we move off this topic, let me just address something that I'm sure is probably on many of your minds. I'm sure many of you are saying, B.A., why are you doing this? Why are you giving credence to the propaganda that Tech, instead of Florida, is Georgia's biggest rival? After all, we have Eddie on the set with us each and every day. He's got the Gator Hater sign in his hand. We do Gator Hater Updater at the end of the show as a way of validating our point of view here that Georgia's most important rivalry is the one that it has with Florida. And let me just clear this up before we move on and talk about Marlon Dean, that it's important to note that there is a pretty significant presence of former Georgia Tech players in the PGA Tour. What, like Cameron Tringali and obviously Matt Kuchar. There's a handful of former Jackets that, much as it pains me to admit, a former Jacket just won the USAM a couple of weeks ago. So the Georgia Tech rivalry is alive and well in golf. Chris DeMarco, the former Gator, I don't think he's played a PGA Tour event in 10 years, so there's not quite as much Georgia-Florida stuff going on the PGA Tour right now. So that's why it's a little more prevalent to hear a guy like Kisner talking about Georgia Tech. But nonetheless, Tech is still a Georgia rival, even if they don't have to suffer the indignity of beaten down by the Dogs once again this year, not being on the schedule, and kind of fun to hear Kevin Kisner kind of talking that way. With that said, kind of a fun beginning to the show, let's shift gears now and talk about some news. Just before we come on the air today, three-star defensive tackle Marlon Dean, one-time Elbert County Bulldog, played his home games there in the Granite Bowl, one of the great locales for high school football in our state, now moved on to IMG Academy. And by the way, Dean was also a one-time Georgia commit, had decommitted from the program for a while. Jeff Sintel had reported that Tennessee was in the mix for his services. Penn State may have been in the mix for his services. He just definitely wanted to kind of push pause in his recruitment and consider all of his options. Well, apparently after considering those options, he has decided to return to the fold here, a part of the 2021 class for Georgia once again. Dean putting out on Twitter here on this Friday morning, happy birthday to my mom. So September 4th is a birthday for her that she celebrates. And he celebrates in style by showing off a very nice looking edit with him and his family wearing the Georgia uniform. He's got the bat in his hand there in the photo. A really nice job by Georgia when it comes to the social media edit. And a nice addition back here to the class of 2021 for Georgia when it comes to Marlon Dean. It's good to see Georgia keep those relationships strong at IMG Academy. And it's good for Georgia kind of getting back in the mix here with this defensive lineman, understanding that's a bit of a position of need for UGA. I think a lot of what's gone on here is going to be kind of explained more by Jeff Sintel when he joins us in just a few minutes. When we go on the road with Jeff Sintel today, assisted once again by AAA, you know, how does this impact hiring Dawkins, who we talked a little bit about yesterday, or, you know, how is this decision by Dean impacted by what happened with Tim Keenan about a week or so ago? Does this mean anything one way or another for a guy like Mason Smith? I think that Jeff Sintel will kind of clear up some of that for us when he joins us in a moment. The only thing I'll say is, and if you're watching a video a moment ago, as a part of the video package that we're showing of Dean, it was a recruiting photo of him alongside Georgia defensive line coach Trey Scott. I do think it's really, really important to acknowledge the ways in which Georgia defensive line recruiting has upgraded itself in the last couple of years. There was a time period not all that long ago when we were talking defensive linemen on a show like this, and we may have, you know, addressed the fact that Georgia needed some of those big wins, needed to recruit the defensive line position as well as recruiting a linebacker, as well as was recruiting some of those defensive backs. We used to say that about Georgia not all that long ago. But think about how things have changed since then. You know, Georgia won the recruitment of Trayvon Walker, and he became an impact player from the word go, and he may be one of the league's best players this upcoming season. Georgia won the recruitment last year of a guy, for instance, Jalen Carter, who has very high expectations for traveling a similar path to what Walker did this past season. So based on the way that Georgia has recruited defensive linemen as of late, that alone is enough to validate Marlon Dean's presence in this class. Georgia wouldn't be going after Dean if they didn't feel like he could be a top-flight player on the basis of just how well they've recruited the defensive line position as of late. So it's kind of an interesting twist in terms of a recruiting saga. A guy who was in, decided to come out, now going back in, but officially Marlon Dean once again a part of the 2021 class for Georgia. And I'm not sure about you, but as far as I'm concerned, a commit heading into a Labor Day weekend is a pretty nice way to kick all this off. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Good to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are a podcast, and we have been around as a podcast for a long time, longer than we've been on video, longer than we've been on the radio. We were a podcast first, and you can check us out there, the Apple Player, the Google Player, Spotify, worldfamousdognation.com. Lots of ways for you to get in touch. Including posting the show each and every day to the worldfamousdognation.com, so we appreciate you being a part of it. Let me remind you as well, as we head into this Labor Day weekend, a lot going on. A lot of that for you is outside grilling time. Well, Kroger's got you covered on all of that. They can help you plan your Labor Day cookout, and you can do so saving more and costing less, whether it be charcoal, chips, baby back ribs, of course, dessert type stuff as well, like the, you know, make some s'mores. My kids love s'mores. It's always, I guess kids just love all kinds of sugar and chocolate type stuff, but my kids love any time to have some s'mores, and so you can get the s'mores ingredients and do that for the Labor Day weekend. Pretty good way to say goodbye to summer and hello to the upcoming fall, and of course all the college football we get to enjoy after that. Labor Day weekend, always fun in that regard. It's actually one of the, I guess, the only good things about the season for Georgia being delayed is the fact that it gives you a chance to enjoy Labor Day weekend in a way we typically might not, because it's usually so dominated by football. In fact, we'll be off on Monday because of that, not something we normally do. So programming note on that front, we're here with you today. We'll be, of course, Dog Nation all over the scene on Saturday with the second Georgia scrimmage and whatever else may happen with recruiting in between now and the next time we speak. But the next live edition of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger comes up on Tuesday. Jeff Sintel here on the road, assisted by AAA. In just a few minutes' time, we'll talk to him about Dean and the rest of the Georgia recruiting stuff. But to kind of keep our theme going of kind of a fun Friday, let's look for a minute at what may happen at the Georgia scrimmage on Saturday. And as a way of doing that, I want to go to something that Georgia has put out on social media last 24 hours or so. Sometimes they are good enough to share a little bit of video with us. They put out a Twitter video of themselves and a little bit of a scrimmage. You can kind of watch some of the stuff that's going on there. There's obviously one face that you do not see in this video at all. Probably not a huge surprise. There is no Jamie Newman. He is completely memory-holed at this point, totally scrubbed. Some of y'all are not wrestling fans. I grew up as a big wrestling fan. And, you know, it almost kind of reminds you back. You remember, like, when guys would leave one territory and go to the other, like, you know, somebody will leave the WWF and go to NWA, or NWA guy leaves and goes to WWF, which is what the organizations were called back then. It was almost like the job of the TV announcers to pretend that person never existed. They just never mentioned his name ever again. That's what this kind of video kind of reminded me of for Georgia when it comes to the stuff there at practice. But the one thing that you do see in that clip, which I thought was kind of interesting, you know, most of the quarterback throwing, and you saw some of Carson Bagg, you saw a little bit of DeJuan Mathis warming up, but most of the quarterback throwing was like a quarterback throw, and you didn't really see where the ball went, or there was a lot of receivers catching the ball in the video, and you didn't really see who it was that was throwing it. But the one time that you had a quarterback and a receiver in the same screen together where you could see where the ball left and who it went to, it does look like, according to that video, the JT Daniels threw a touchdown to George Pickens in the highlights that were shown there. So maybe that's a harbinger of more stuff that's to come for Georgia here. Now that Jamie Newman is gone, it would certainly stand to reason that the JT Daniels stands poised to step into the void there. A lot of you reacted strongly to what we had on the show yesterday when former Georgia quarterback Buck Belue, the national champion, a longtime Atlanta radio host, joined the show to say that he felt like that maybe JT Daniels was a better fit for the Georgia offense than the things that we would commonly think of as Jamie Newman doing well. If you want to check that out, either yesterday's show, but we also highlighted those comments in particular as a part of a DN90 that'll be on the website this weekend, but also on the Dog Nation Facebook and YouTube pages already. You can kind of check that out for yourself, what Belue had to say about Daniels yesterday. It remains to be seen if any of that's true, but obviously some of the things that we think we know about JT Daniels would certainly lead us to believe that he has a chance to be successful here, you know, in this upcoming season if he indeed emerges as the Georgia starter. One thing we do know, moving towards the second scrimmage, that time is now of the essence to get fully prepared for the season that is to come. This is something that Smart talked about last week about how, you know, listen, given all the weirdness of this year, you got to take advantage of every moment of preparation you have. What Smart said then is even more crucial now that Jamie Newman's not here. I'll explain why, but first let me let you hear from Kirby Smart.
It's very unique. I talked to our team about it today. At this scrimmage point, most times we're 3 weeks away. We're 4 weeks away with the scrimmage in our bank. The difference is we don't have as many practices left. So time is there, but practices aren't, if you know what I mean. So we're monitored by the NCAA, and also required to give the players a certain amount of time off. So our practice numbers that we have left are less than we would traditionally have at this point. But we also have a little time to recover and get better. And when I say behind, I'm talking about from the fact we didn't have spring. We had, you know, we got guys that Carson Beck didn't get to go in the spring. DeJuan Mathis, you know, a kid who really needed those reps in the spring, didn't get to go. Jamie didn't get to have spring practice, and JT wasn't here. So then when I say behind, I'm really talking from that perspective. I would say that knock on wood, I mean, we've done a good job with Ron and his staff, and we've been able to keep most of our players out there from a health standpoint and from a COVID standpoint to be able to practice.
And once again, just to be clear, those popping peas in that video, that's not on our end. I just sort of feel the need to provide that as a caveat every single time we bring this up. And listen, this is not necessarily good or bad. It's just true that as much as Smart says, hey, listen, we got to make sure we maximize our time because we didn't have spring practice and because of the weirdness of this year and, you know, taking advantage of every opportunity. I think what accentuates that point even more now is the fact that every practice snap that was given to Jamie Newman is a practice snap that was now wasted. And listen, you know, I don't say that as a way of, you know, trolling or anything like that, but it is just what it is. In the attempt to get a quarterback ready for the start of the season, the snaps that you gave to Jamie Newman are essentially just sort of blasted into the, you know, the galaxy. They've disappeared into the ether here at this point, whether because, you know, Newman decided he wanted to leave, or, you know, maybe, whatever reason you want to ascribe to this, there's no shortage of opinions when it comes to what actually went down with Jamie Newman. But one way or another, you gave him a lot of number one reps in practice, and now that's a guy that's decided he wants to move on and get ready for the NFL draft for whatever reason he's chosen to do that. So it is just a fact that as Georgia tries to prepare for the upcoming season, it does so knowing that it's going to really ramp up pretty fast in terms of getting its quarterback ready to eventually take on Arkansas in a couple of weeks' time and, you know, be ready beyond that. But the next big domino in all of this is the scrimmage that's going to take place tomorrow. And I'm sure there'll be no shortage of rumors and whispers about what goes on behind closed doors there, much the same way that there was last week as well. So we'll talk more about this later on. I'll also highlight something really cool that Georgia's doing in the community before we're done on the show today. But Georgia has gotten a commitment, again, from a familiar name, and maybe that announcement precedes some other dominoes falling for the 2021 class. Let's try to find out about all of that with Jeff Sintel as we go on the road with Jeff Sintel, assisted by AAA.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
We're on the road with Jeff Sintel, assisted by AAA here today, and it's always fun to get a chance to talk to Jeff Sintel, and probably important that we do that just given the fact that we got some news a moment ago. It feels like just yesterday we were celebrating Marlon Dean committing to Georgia, and lo and behold, here we get to do it all again. I'm not going to lie. I like to kind of scroll through Twitter a little bit just before the show begins, just to make sure that there's nothing big happening before, I get ready to start talking to everybody on the broadcast. And when I saw the people tweeting about Marlon Dean committing to Georgia, I thought I had revisited like an older version of my Twitter timeline. These were like old stories that had just kind of gotten republished for whatever reason. But no, lo and behold, Dean is back in the fold again for Georgia, the class of 2021. Jeff Sintel, what's your reaction?
Oh, it's funny, Brandon. First of all, I think we have different viewpoints of it. To me, when you think Marlon Dean committed to Georgia. I mean, brother, to me, it feels like you're talking about Rocky II or Raiders of the Lost Ark, because he committed to Georgia back when Georgia lost to Florida in basketball, way back in, I think, late February, early March. And for me, that feels like Mesopotamia, man. And, King Tut type stuff in your textbooks. That's how long ago it is. And, you know, Marlon Dean's had a lot of, I guess I would call it, upheaval in his life. His former high school coach moved on, took a new job, the coronavirus. He is transferred down to ING Academy. And, you know, Brandon, I'm sure you're happy to tout now that there are two ING Bulldogs down there with Labossiere Thurl and Marlon Dean.
For sure.
He decommits on July the 18th. And I think the reason he gave me was, too soon. He didn't really get a good sense of the schools that were out there for him and just wanted to look around a lot more. And that's always puzzling, especially when your young man does that now in the middle of the coronavirus. It wasn't like he could take four impactful visits to make sure he got it right. But he comes back around to Georgia. He commits on his mother's birthday. I guess you can say he got his mom something that we could never find in a store for her birthday, even online. And I guess, according to your closet, he got the right colors in red and black for his mom as well on her birthday.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And, you know, now he's back in Georgia. He just said he loved the environment. He said he wanted to be back there because it just felt like where he needed to be all along. And that's one of those, sometimes I think of young Jeff Sintel when he's like 8 or 9 years old, reading that Family Circus cartoon by Bill Keane where the child goes around the neighborhood with all the traversing back and forth around the neighborhood, and there's the dots that retrace all of the steps. That's kind of what things feel like here for Marlon Dean. Everybody will remember Marlon Dean. Again, it feels like 1952 to me to discuss his original commitment. But remember, Marlon Dean was the guy that I know stole your heart when he dropped a top 10, and he had 11 schools on there. Oh, in the middle of his edit for the top 10, he's in Georgia gear right in the center of it. And that was definitely foreshadowing for not just one commitment, but two commitments.
Well, I would argue that if the Big Ten is going to have 14 schools and if the Big 12 is going to have 10 schools, there's nothing wrong with Marlon Dean dropping a top 10 that includes 11 schools. That, to me, is just pretty fitting with what already kind of stands for college football when it comes to counting things as it is.
You know, Brandon, that's pretty good PR right there. If I was a recruit that felt bad in the class of 2021 that was still dropping a top 11 or a top 15 at this point, I just put a top 6 on there and have like 11 schools in there, let everybody else figure out what figure out what's what.
Yeah, I don't think there's any problem with that at all. When you originally wrote about his decommitment from Georgia, one of the things that you mentioned was schools like Tennessee, I believe you mentioned Penn State, as kind of the chief competition. I mean, July is not that long ago, but was that kind of also true up until this morning? I mean, is that kind of where he was thought to be in the mix for if he wasn't going to kind of circle back around to Georgia again?
I think he kind of got, you know, Georgia obviously needs to move forward with its defensive line class. You know, the thing, though, when he decommitted, though, this is funny. This is one of those that kind of shocked the Georgia coaches. They were like, well, what? And, I, one of the things you learned about his situation and the decommitment in the days afterward was that was a very strong push by the Georgia staff that really wanted to know what was up, what could they do better. They wanted him to be a part of the class, and they wanted him to know that he wanted to be a part of the class. So this was one of those young men that they definitely wanted to reel back in, and Trey Scott and Kirby Smart and the rest of the defensive staff made sure that he knew that. And I'm sure, you know, knowing this young fella pretty well, I'm sure Lavoisier Carroll only reminded Marlon Dean about Georgia every time he saw him on the campus down there in Bradenton. So, you know, Lavoisier, who I still think, I don't know, Brandon, if, you know, everybody wants the running back position at Georgia to be a five-star and a top 50 recruit. But, man, I think Lavoisier Carroll might be one of the most down-low, low-key, underrated recruits in the class because, man, that 40 time is around right around a 4.4. He's over 205 pounds, 210 pounds. He's played against the true 13th grade type level of competition where everybody's going somewhere on the IMG schedule or on their practice field. I do think he's one of the most overlooked and underrated members of the class, even on field ability, and not just how he's constantly chirping at guys like Xavier Sorey and Terrion Arnold and other dudes like that.
Yeah, you're 1,000,000% right. I would say that the thinking man Georgia fan really views Lavoisier Carroll as an incredibly valuable part of this 2021 class. As you said, he's a good player. But his presence off the field, I think it's been, you know, critical for Georgia. I loved him kind of, at least in my mind, what appeared to be trolling Florida not too long ago. That's obviously a lot of fun. And I would say that his personality has been a pretty good magnet for other potential, you know, members of this class, which has always been a big part of Kirby Smart's recruiting repertoire, is to have a commit that just was good at making friends with other prospects. And it seems like Lavoisier Carroll is an example of that. Let me also mention one other thing on this topic, too, before we move on. I want to give you credit for something. Can I see, and I apologize for radio podcast audience for a moment, but can I see the Marlon Dean screen grab once again of his tweet announcing that he was coming to Georgia? Because the one thing, Jeff, you told me the other day that I was not aware of, but this would certainly seem to be true if we can just kind of throw that up there on the screen again, is I was under the belief that the Chucky doll was strictly a part of the Florida Gator nomenclature, but it certainly appears that that's not the case. If I can see, it looks like Marlon Dean's Twitter avatar is, I think that's Chucky. I think that's Chucky from the old Child's Play movies as his Twitter avatar. So once again, Jeff, you have been proven right on something. I thought that Chucky within the realm of college football was strictly reserved for Florida because they've used that a lot in some very odd ways, but you point out that everyone has taken ownership of Chucky as of late, I guess, including the latest UGA commit here. So let me give you some credit for being on the cutting edge of that trend. I think we mentioned this on one of our shows a couple of weeks ago.
You know, Brandon, let me just, you know, dial it in for you from what I see and live and breathe on the trail. I think if we had to think of a patron saint for wild and crazed defensive linemen, the guys that probably need a straitjacket when they're not on the field, I think the Chucky doll has somehow become the patron saint for incredibly wild, ferocious, and savage defensive players. That's kind of like the Vogue icon for those fellas.
All right, it is our On the Road with Jeff Sintel, assisted by AAA. Of course, I've been a AAA member for a long time. I'm a big fan of what they do. It's peace of mind. It's roadside assistance. You know, sometimes that means my wife and kids may be somewhere without me. You know, I want them to be well taken care of when and if something were to happen, flat tire, something like that. You just want to feel good about that. But there's other things that AAA can do for you as well, including save you big money also. How about auto insurance? You can switch and save on average $529. That's great savings. If you go to AAA.com/auto insurance, you can find out more. You can make the switch and you can start saving today. The website, once again, AAA.com/auto insurance. All right. So I'm sure you probably know what question's kind of coming next. After Dean reaffirms his pledge to Georgia here, How does this fit into some of the other news that's out there for Georgia from a defensive line recruiting standpoint? Whether it be, you know, Tim Keenan, who last week chose Alabama over Georgia, does that impact what Dean has done today? We saw Tyron Ingram Dawkins announce his top four at, you know, within the last couple of days. Georgia was in that mix. We've heard, you know, Ingram Dawkins be a name that you and I think have even mentioned on here before. What does Dean's announcement mean for the rest of Georgia defensive line recruiting?
So that's probably, Brandon, I would say, besides the inside linebacker position, that's probably the biggest remaining piece. Georgia's at 15 public 2021 commitments right now, and I think they're going to get at least two or three more, I would say three more guys that are going to come across the defensive line. I think I put something in the Dog Nation forum recently, and you know, I always kind of try to just put information out there and let our forum folk kind of, you know, follow the breadcrumbs a little bit or whatever. But you just hear and see things happening going on. There's the possibility of another big recruiting visit weekend for Georgia this weekend on those self-guided visits. I think that the possibilities for Corey Foreman and Mason Smith continue to go up. Some information that I've received recently, Brendan, I had Mason Smith kind of parked in your ceremonial speak it into existence slot on our hedges top target for I guess a couple of months. Well, you know, he took the low key G visit with everybody in the truck bed there in Athens Town a couple weeks back, and I do think Georgia will get another visit in the near future. And I don't even know if it will be an unofficial. I don't even know if it'll be an official because again, folks, they can't take official visits yet. I don't even know when they will return. But here's what had to happen with a guy like Mason Smith: is he needed to take visits to Georgia. He's already taken his first visit to Georgia. But I put this in the forum, Brandon. I don't know forum.dognation.com. Let me plug our own folks here in our own backyard here. But to me, and I want you to consider this point. I want you to chew on it. It's like a little mini cover for here. So Mason Smith, everybody knows it's going to be like a tractor pull for the ages from a dirt track speedway to get him out of the state of Louisiana. LSU wants him. They want him dearly. Of course, you see some bad PR things happening right now with LSU on the top of all that. But here at the surface, everybody was like, why does it make it so hard to pull a guy out of LSU? Well, if he gets in Death Valley in front of 97,000 on a Saturday night, that's going to be hard. If he keeps taking those official visits or unofficial visits with other Louisianans and boys from the boot, that's going to be hard. If he keeps taking all these face-to-face visits with coaches all the time for camp, for junior days or whatever, that just kind of cements those size 16s, I think, for Mason Smith into the state of Louisiana. But look what's not happening right now, man. None of that is happening. None of the things that make it so hard to pull a guy that LSU deeply covets from the state of Louisiana, none of those things are happening right now. The bonds are not being built from coaches, members of the class. Those visits are not taking place. He's not going to have those impactful look around. You can't even hear you can't even hear yourself think moments in Death Valley with a big SEC game at night. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not going to say it should happen. I'm not going to say it's trending to happen yet. But all the things that make it hard for that to happen, it seems like the pandemic, the coronavirus is kind of playing defense on all those things that is giving Georgia a greater opportunity to do so.
So I 100% think that Georgia should go all in, try to get Mason Smith. But when I hear you talking there, the one thing that does kind of come to mind for me, though, is that the challenge for like a state like Louisiana is, it's almost like, I'm going to use a corny analogy here, if you've ever tried to download a really big file, it's like you can get 99% of the way there, but you're never fully getting it downloaded because of whatever reason. You know, you're right. There's a lot of things that make recruiting Louisiana tough because, you know, Death Valley can be a great place to visit, or, you know, you've got, you know, coaches showing up at your house all the time. Right now that can't happen. But honesty does compel me to admit that, so no matter how many inroads a guy, you know, a school like Georgia can make with a guy like Smith, the moment the door is open for LSU to start recruiting again like LSU does, because it is the only school there in that state, at least of the, you know, the very high level, Georgia may get like 99% of the way with Mason Smith, But as long as the door is open for LSU, it's always going to be an opportunity for them to swoop in and get the recruiting win that most people always assume they probably would. That doesn't mean that Georgia shouldn't go after. I think that Georgia should go heavily after Mason Smith because he's that good of a player. But there is that part of, you know, it's a reminder of why it's tough. They can be against the eight ball, I mean, LSU, the entirety of the recruitment, and still find a way to win it at the end.
Definitely. I mean, that's why it's always so hard. But maybe Coach O and those Tigers are only going to get to pull on that rope for maybe a month and a half, when we know Georgia has kind of already maybe put itself in there. And let me be very clear. Let me state and let me use one of your favorite phrases. Honesty compels me to admit that I didn't mean to make this portion of our conversation 93 octane of sunshine pump for Mason Smith. But again, there's also these little levers that seem to be falling in terms of Mason Smith has had Georgia, I believe, among his top five, top eight for over a year. There's a great relationship there with Trey Scott. And then there's the Corey Foreman factor, who we got to throw his name in here to the defensive lineman. The odds and the unique twists here. So the Clemson decommitment happens. Remember, Corey Foreman almost committed to Georgia last summer on a trip. But then those two guys met up at the opening last July. They got really tight. Those were two of those rare juniors that get invited to the thing, much like Nolan Smith was and Owen Papo was, that we've talked about before on our program. So those guys have been working together, and they've been dropping that, which a lot of times feels like fool's gold. We want to play together. We're going to try to play together. But, you know, somehow all this kind of seems to take a little bit more traction in the midst of a pandemic with him wanting to leave USC. USC is not as strong. You know, Georgia continues to recruit him heavily, and you've got the Clemson factor that made it hard for those two guys to want to play together, but now they have some mutual offers and they want to take visits together. There's a lot of little bitty, like I guess I want to say the synchronicity, I think that's the right word. A lot of these little gears and cogs in the machine here are kind of turning in the right favor right now to at least open up the possibility where in a normal cycle with normal things, a five-star from Louisiana and a five-star from California aren't so chummy, but they've just been linked together through the last 2 years of their lives through a lot of what I look at as random events. And that's what creates the bubble of possibility here with Georgia.
Let me also say this, and we'll move on and talk about something else before we let you go here, as we're on the road assisted by AAA with Jeff Sintel. And this is not new for me. The Corey Foreman, Mason Smith news is not what changes all of this for me. You know, the other day we talked about who Georgia's top recruiter is right now. That was a part of one of the Cover 4 pieces that you could see at DogNation.com. If you were to ask me who the most improved Georgia recruiter is over the course of the last couple of cycles, I think it's fairly obvious that to me is Trey Scott. At one point in time, Georgia defensive line recruitment would have been a little bit of a weakness, a question mark that people had. But at this point in time now, it's fairly obvious that Georgia's defensive line recruitment, you know, Jalen Carter expected to be an impact player this season as a freshman. Trayvon Walker certainly was the year prior to that. Georgia very much in it for a guy like Mason Smith. You know, a guy like Corey Foreman there as well. You know, I think it's pretty obvious that Georgia's defensive line recruitment is now just as stout as any other position group on this team. And that's great news for the recipe that success in the SEC requires, which is obviously along the defensive line.
Yeah, I think you said a lot there, Brandon. I mean, what Trey Scott is doing, I think he is, you know, what Trey Scott is doing is he's basically removing anybody that wondered about defensive line recruiting and Georgia bringing in guys. I mean, folks, when you get to see Trayvon Walker, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Devontae Wyatt, I'm just going to say it. Georgia's never had four interior defensive linemen as good as those four, those guys that will play for Georgia in the middle. You know, Trayvon Walker is athletic enough to bounce out and be a strong side end, set the edge end type guy as well. But I think where he becomes really dynamic is as an interior pass rusher who could maybe loop around on that pinch or that stunt where he got Auburn late in that game that everybody recalls when they think Trayvon Walker. But suddenly Georgia's first four, first five defensive linemen don't have a couple of guys that are like fifth-year seniors or fourth-year seniors, and they're formidable because they're 21 years old and they've been in the program and lifted all of Sinclair's weight about 1,000 times over already. But, you know, with Scott and those pieces that George is putting together, and I guess I would call this, if with this cover four, our buddy Michael would dial up a hot take graphic or whatever. If you ask me right now, if we were doing a program about who I think the number one overall most important player on the Georgia team in terms of indispensable, in terms of face of the program, in terms of about to get drafted and impress on a bigger stage, on the Sunday stage, I always thought that was LeCount, and we talked about earlier this year with our draft. But yeah, I think Jordan Davis is right there behind LeCount now. Is just an indispensable face of the program. Georgia's team would not be the same as without him. You know, for me, if we were talking about a player opting out, there are bigger names for me that would impact Georgia's season rather than the marquee quarterback transfers that we've discussed ad nauseum this week. Jordan Davis, I just want to say this as clearly as I can, he very well might be the most indispensable part of Georgia's team this fall.
Hey, let me do this in the time we have left. LJ Johnson, four-star running back, has dropped his top four. Georgia was not in that group. I didn't necessarily expect that it would be, but it is just kind of a reminder of where do things stand with Georgia's running back position. We talked earlier about Lavoisier Carroll. That's a fun member of this class already. I was of the assumption that Georgia wanted more than one running back. You know, is that Donovan Edwards? I mean, where are things now for Georgia when it comes to running back recruitment for this class?
Yeah, you know, Brendan, I don't even know if they need or – now, listen, Donovan Edwards is one that, you know, Kirby Smart will go underneath the couch cushions to find, you know, like we all did in college, try to find $6 or $7 to get some Gumby's pizza or something like that. But in terms of scholarships, I think Kirby Smart would kind of try to find anything he could to get a Donovan Edwards into the program. But me, for the past month, 3 months, I've kind of looked at it as Georgia would be fine this year with just taking one running back, especially a lightning running back like Lavoisier Carroll in this class. I think Donovan Edwards just really needs to see Georgia again, his family, his father, before anything happens in terms of Georgia moving the dial away from you know, some of the things about Michigan and Oklahoma. I think the tea leaves, you listen to things, you hear things. I think Caleb Williams, you'll remember that name. It seems he's buddied up with Kamar Wheaton, the other talented, you know, top five running back in the class out of Texas, where Oklahoma and Donovan Edwards aren't as rosy a picture as it could have been. And I think for Georgia, it could be, you know, Donovan Edwards likes Georgia. Donovan Edwards wants to see Georgia. But Georgia needs a change event or a catalyst, like maybe one of those self-guided visits that he hasn't decided to take yet. Or a true visit, you know, late November, early December, something like that, for Georgia to really get in there. That all having been said, man, I think Georgia could be quite content and have a special, you know, over 300, 24/7 sports composite rating, number two, number three overall class for 2021, with just taking one running back in this cycle.
Okay, so that it's fine for the 2021 class, but, you know, what if James Cook leaves? What if Zamir White leaves? Does that leave you enough running back talent to put together the kind of running game that Georgia wants to have? I mean, at some point in time, you know, Georgia's got to have these, like, multiple elite backs in the program to maintain what has been a real program strength, which is the ability to rush for, you know, 2,500, 3,000 yards every single year. You know, if guys decide to move on, all of a sudden that puts more pressure on the guys who were left. And, you know, admittedly, some of those guys would not be as highly rated as recruits as some of the other running backs at Georgia who have had big success in recent years. Swift, Chubb, Michelle, those were all elite recruits, and you know, not difficult to draw the line between the success they had on the field. You know, Kendall Milt was a top-rated recruit, but if Cook and White are gone after this year, some of the guys who were left will not be as highly rated of recruits, which I think it's fair to make you wonder, can Georgia stay as strong in the running game without the kind of caliber of raw talent at that position anymore?
Yeah, so, Brendan, I totally agree with you right there. The number for Georgia is five. I think Del McGee looks at his room and realizes, I need at least five guys, five show dogs is what he calls them on social media. He needs at least five guys in the program at all times that can get those tough yards and run the rock. Now, I see what you're saying. I totally believe what you're saying. If a James Cook balls out and has the type of year where he's a, you know, top two, top three draft pick, top three round draft pick, you know, if Cook realizes everything he can be in this offense under Monken, I think he can be a second round or a third round pick. I can think he can be an all SEC candidate. He's that talented. So if he moves on, here's what happens, Brandon. That showcases what's going on in the new Monken offense for a dynamic back like that. And Donovan Edwards is kind of exactly that type of back, the guy that could, you know, finish a year with maybe 600 yards receiving and maybe 1,200 yards rushing in an SEC offense and against SEC teams. Donovan Edwards could be that special. But here's where it works out for Georgia, where everything's kind of stuck in motion a little bit or potentially worked out. That's because Edwards is not really doing anything with his recruitment. He's kind of – they just now, I believe, got cleared where they can have a season of some sort this year, this fall, this late fall in Michigan. So I think if Cook develops and he springs to the league along with Zamir, that drops Georgia's scholarship number down to Kenny McIntosh, Kenny Milton, Kendall Milton, and Dejon Edwards. So obviously they're going to need more pieces there to get that number back up to five. And I think if Cook moves on, I think that's a very strong tractor beam or a very strong pull then for Donovan Edwards to see how well James Cook flourished in that offense. And that would even give even Georgia a better shot with a guy like Donovan Edwards.
All right, Jeff, great stuff. Thanks for being here on the road, assisted by AAA here today. I know you're going to be on the road some this weekend. High school football kicking off and kicking off, you know, last night as well. Fun times to have football back in our lives again, to even hear some fans cheering in these stands, whether it be with the college games last night or the high school stuff. It's just great to see. And I know you're going to be on the road. Stay safe as you do, and we'll look forward to talking to you again here next week on the road, assisted by AAA.
All right, guys. Yeah, I'm going to put the gas in there and go down the road. Everybody have a very safe Labor Day. Hope everybody gets on the water, get something grilled, get some good family and friends time, and we'll see you guys next week.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff with Jeff Sintel there. Really appreciate him being a part of the program on the road, assisted by AAA. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, we'll get ready to shift gears here to our SEC Through. One of the things I was going to ask Jeff more about was, you know, the high school football. You know, saw some of that last night on TV. Admittedly, Barrett Carter is every bit as good as I thought he probably would be. Fun to watch him a little bit last night. But just kind of fun to have high school football back in our lives again. And I watched some of the college stuff last night too. I did fall asleep on the couch before, like, you know, UAB. I didn't even have the UAB game because I wasn't watching online, but I was watching some of the, I guess it's CBS Sports Network that had the South Alabama Southern Miss game. I was watching some of that. I fell asleep before that was over with, but it's kind of nice to have football, but, you know, back in our lives again. And I said before, you know, something just feels right with the world when you see some fans, even, you know, a game like last night between Southern Miss and South Alabama with limited fans, just kind of something feels right about having people in those stands. And for the high school games as well, one of the things we've said now for a while is that football is not a trickle-down sport. Things don't start from the NFL and trickle their way down to high school. That may be true for, you know, other, you know, kinds of sports, but football's not like that. In football, things start from the high school ranks and trickle their way up. The offenses that were popular, you know, years ago, finally migrate to college. And then before you know it, those college coaches are getting hired by the NFL. And now you watch what Cliff Kingsbury does with the Cardinals. You watch, you know, what Sean McVay does with the Rams. You watch a lot of these, you know, these respected coaches in the NFL. They are running things that look a lot like what high school teams were doing 15 years ago. Certainly 10 years ago, at the very least, it's a trickle-up sport. So for those of us who believe there's a healthy and safe way to return to football and think that's an important thing about just kind of getting our society kind of back on its axis again, the presence of high school football makes it easier for every other level of the sport, because it's really high school football because of how closely connected it is to the communities. That's the lifeblood of all of this. So I enjoy the notion of football being back in our state. I am proud as I can be of these coaches who have worked so hard to make this possible. You know, a lot of times we kind of notice the fact that high school coaches, you know, compared to the average teacher, the average, even sometimes high school coach, make a lot of money. But when you do it on a per hourly basis, that is not a lot of money per hour, just considering how hard a lot of these high school coaches work to get their team on the field and keep everybody happy and keep everybody healthy and keep everybody safe. They've done yeoman's work so far, and I'm happy to be celebrating the return of high school football all around our great state here this weekend. Jeff mentioned Labor Day a moment ago. It's also a good time to remind you that if you're getting ready to enjoy some good cold beer here this Labor Day, the Classic City Lager and Athens Original is a great choice for that. They have 6 and 12-pack cans. You can find them at wherever your retailer is, wherever you normally buy your beer. Look for Classic City Lager. This is good, crisp, great tasting. It's kind of a lighter lager type beer. It's really easy to drink, really fun to drink, and you're getting together with, you know, friends this weekend. You're sitting out on a back deck or a front porch or a patio or, you know, something along those lines around the pool, many of you do. Classic City Lager is just a great choice to go along with that. It is good cold beer. In fact, you can learn more about it by checking out the hashtag good cold beer. And wherever you buy your beer, whatever retailer you like to go to, check out those 6, those 12-pack cans there. I think you'll be really, really happy. And as we head towards the football season, I think this can be a big part of your tailgating repertoire, your home-gating repertoire, or whatever it is you're doing this upcoming year. Make sure you check out Classic City Lager. It is good, cold beer. All right, couple of SEC through stories to get to, and I apologize for we're going to run out of music here in a moment. Let me just say this really quick. So there's been a lot of the last 24 hours, 48 hours, about the continued weirdness of the Big Ten. You heard the story about the Penn State sports scientist who shot his mouth off in some school board meeting about 30-35% of the Big Ten positive tests having, you know, signs of myocarditis, and then being forced to retract that statement and essentially saying it was actually 0.0%. You know, it's just not a good look all the way around, and it strains the ability for the Big Ten to say that its decision was made by sober scientists who only sought the truth, when someone like this is caught in the act of exaggerating as much as it was. It's a complicated topic. You know, this isn't easy for anyone. I guess the point that I'm making, though, here is when someone who's supposed to have credentials clearly exaggerates something, when that message is amplified for, you know, some of the same reasons we've been critical of the amplification in the past, it actually makes the public less informed. It's really, really harmful for those of us who don't have, you know, an agenda beyond, you know, we just want to know what the real story is. When an exaggerated claim like this, the Penn State scientist from yesterday, and you can read all about it online, it's literally everywhere. When a guy like that makes such an exaggerated claim, has to retract that, it's just harmful to the process. It's harmful to public health. And we've been clear that we want football back. You know, we don't want football at all costs. We want to explore healthy and safe ways to do that. But health and safety is negatively impacted when people are presenting erroneous information, and especially when that person has the whiff of some sort of credentialing. You also saw the Pac-12 and the apparent breakthrough they've had about rapid response testing. I guess it's probably good news. I don't know that the absence of testing was the reason that the Pac-12 said it wasn't going to play to begin with. In fact, you know that they seem to cite a lot of other things beyond that, but they're celebrating that as good news, so I guess we'll congratulate them for that. And then there's also the weird rumor that the Big Ten was somehow going to vote on a restart. Some people say there's a chance that might happen. Others say that that's likely not to happen. The weirdness of the media gadfly Clay Travis being a part of this, I guess, has also kind of made this a little more strange. But one way or another, I think it's pretty obvious in the Big Ten side of things, they regret the decision they made. They regret how quickly they made it. And now it's about saving face, especially as, you know, Michigan is kind of reverse course. The state has in high school football. Ohio, the state of Ohio, is playing high school football. I think one way or another, the Big Ten knows it has made an error and is trying to correct that error without losing too much, suffering too much more embarrassment in the process. For the most part, nobody really cares what the Pac-12 does. They are just kind of doing their own thing, you know, way out west. One more SEC through story to get to here for a moment. So I thought this was interesting. 4-star wide receiver Ketron Jackson has committed to Arkansas. And, you know, I highlight this for a specific reason. I am a big believer, and you can file this away for later on. You can laugh at me if it ends up not being true, but I'm going to stick with it for right now. I think there's a really good chance that Sam Pittman is potentially building something at Arkansas. Not winning a national championship or anything along those lines, that's a tough thing to do in the SEC West for any program, especially for one like Arkansas that's starting from really less than zero, given how bad that program's been in recent years. But he made good coordinator hires. We know Pittman's a good recruiter. We know he's an infectious personality. I really like Pittman as the Arkansas coach more than I thought he would. 4-star receiver makes the commitment, commits to Arkansas over Texas. That was always the recipe for when Arkansas was good, it was getting players that programs like Texas wanted. I haven't done that as much in recent years, even though Chad Morris had pretty good ties to that state. If this is back what Arkansas is doing again, recruiting from the state of Texas, being an SEC destination for people around there, all of a sudden things could be pretty interesting with Pittman and Arkansas. I do not believe Arkansas goes winless this year. I think they find a way to win a game, at least. If they were playing a 12-game schedule, I could have seen them winning three or four games. But I think that along the way, Sam Pittman may be on his way to building something there at Arkansas. He gets a 4-star receiver, and Georgia fans probably wish him well in that regard. In every other game, with the exception of the season kickoff when Georgia travels to Fayetteville, we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, let me turn my attention back to Georgia for a moment. Let me do so kind of off the field. I think that Georgia's doing something really cool, and they announced it yesterday. They are working to provide internet access, like Wi-Fi access, to some of the Athens-Clarke County school system students who find themselves without that as they're having to go through distance learning. It's a huge challenge. Education is really important to me. And I just think this is the example of the kind of practical step that a big, powerful entity like Georgia football can take to serve its community. Let me let you hear a little bit of Cortez Hankton from a video that Georgia released explaining what this process is about and kind of why it's important. This is good stuff from Hankton.
Every student needs equal access to educational resources to ensure that they succeed academically. The University of Georgia Athletic Association is proud to announce a new Dogs for Pups program. Dog Nation, we need you to come together. This is our opportunity to really impact change. And that's what the young men in our program are trying to do.
When I post the show to dognation.com later on, I'm going to put a link to the story from the official Georgia site about this so you can kind of find out how to get involved in this if you want to. In addition to the cause itself, I think being a really good thing, there's also something to be said for, you know, we try to avoid this kind of stuff on our show, but we know there's incredible division in our world right now, and anything that can be done to kind of silence some of that division and bring people closer together, I think is in itself a great task. In addition to the fact that this cause, the Dogs for Pups program, is probably a worthy cause in and of itself. I mean, no one, no matter what your, you know, background, political beliefs, or anything like that, you know, no one can look at providing internet access for students who right now are not allowed to be in their classroom. No one's going to say that's not a good goal. That's not a worthy cause, a worthwhile ambition. And so Georgia leading the way on this, in addition to bettering the lives of the school students who will benefit from this internet access, I think in a way kind of also brings fans, players, you know, people all around our state just a little closer together through this process. This is a practical step. It is a very real action. Smart has said before that he wants substantive action, a part of whatever Georgia's plan is moving forward. This is an example of that. And I'm proud to tout it because I think it's good for the community, but I think it also is just good to bring people closer together as well. So the fight song, indeed, a nice thing to hear after Georgia doing really good stuff like that. We appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here today. A quick programming note to remind you that we will not have a show on Monday. We are taking the day off for Labor Day. That's not something we normally do, but this is also not really a normal year, just, you know, given the fact that Georgia doesn't start for a couple of weeks. This is typically the Monday after the first game, an important day for us to be here. But it's still kind of, we're in that sort of off-season mode right now, at least a little bit. So we'll be off on Monday, but looking forward to be back on Tuesday. Plenty of coverage, though, of everything that happens with UGA this weekend at DogNation.com. I'll also be a big part of that as well. So DogNation.com is going to be hopping. Just know Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger on Monday. So on the way out the door, let me finish in style here with a Gator Hater Updater, reminding you that it's been 1,406 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That's good news. Happy Labor Day weekend. We'll see you Tuesday, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.